From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. A number of Democratic lawmakers visited the tent encampment in Tornillo, Texas this past weekend, where U.S. authorities are holding thousands of undocumented children in detention. Among those that visited were Texas Representative and former Senate candidate Beto O'Rourke, as well as California Representative Judy Chu and Senators Tina Smith, Mazie Hirono, and Jeff Merkley. Meanwhile, as a deadline fast approaches to pass a spending bill keeping the federal government funded, President Donald Trump has found himself increasingly isolated on his threat to shut down the government over his border wall. There are reports that even few Republicans support his demand for a $5 billion funding for a wall between the U.S. and Mexico. Republican Senator John Cornyn said everybody is looking to him for a signal about what he wants to do, and so far, it's not clear. An unnamed Republican lawmaker told The Hill, Trump will get the blame, but he won't care, and the base will love him for it. The deadline to pass a bill is December 21st. We turn to Juan Escalante. He is a digital organizer, an immigration activist, and a DACA recipient. He's also the immigration correspondent for our program. Welcome back to the show, Juan.
Hey, nice to see you again.
Thanks so much for joining us. So Beto O'Rourke had led a delegation to Tornillo, Texas many months ago. Now this encampment, photos of which really look like some sort of concentration camp, is at bursting capacity. It's nearly full. Thousands of children are being held there. And this delegation of lawmakers were able to go and see what it looked like. As far as you know, what qualifies the government keeping these kids in here? Some of them are detained for months at a time, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're still feeling and seeing the aftermath of the government's zero tolerance policy, something that was essentially all over the screens and newspapers of this country as Americans, immigrants, and residents of this country were forced to watch as children seeking refuge in the United States to escape extreme conditions in their home countries of Central America were ripped apart from the arms of their parents. And, you know, they're still being housed into these detention centers, some of whom have been reunited. Others, as you can see in these detention centers, haven't. And with everything that's been unfolding at the border, with families coming in trying to seek asylum, which is a legal way to actually enter the United States, continue to see this trend, which obviously brings up a lot of questions. What is the government's capacity and intention? And how exactly, given recent events after the death of a seven-year-old in Border Patrol custody, how well equipped is the government actually to care and have the welfare of these children up front and in mind as it continues to house them away from their parents in some cases or for prolonged periods of time, as you indicated?
Right. The seven-year-old girl, reports came out just a few days ago. She apparently died of exhaustion. It's just incredible. In a little while, I want to play for you Stephen Miller's response to her death. He was on Face the Nation over the weekend. But just staying on Tornillo, Texas for a bit, I understand there's about 1,500 undocumented and unaccompanied teens mostly in that facility. And the government's basis for holding them there is that they are unaccompanied, meaning there's no family members that are coming to claim them. But hasn't the government also endangered those family members that come forward and essentially threaten them with deportation? There's a process by which you have to get an FBI background check, which if that determines you're undocumented, the FBI then shares that with Immigration and Customs Enforcement, leading to the arrest and deportation of that family member, which basically means that you either risk deportation or you leave that child in custody. So the Trump administration seems like has created a situation forcing these kids to remain here.
Absolutely. And you have to wonder exactly, you know, to what lengths is the administration willing to play this game? I mean, if you really consider for those of you watching this program, what the president is doing when it comes to immigration, in detention centers, especially with these children, is essentially using every tool at their disposal to try to get rid of as many immigrants as they possibly can in this country. Now, a reminder that some of these individuals are family members, people who have lived here for decades and built a life, and all they want is to essentially be able to hug their loved ones and get them out of these detention facilities where the situations and the conditions are often not up to par with those that you may find in like elsewhere that are remotely appropriate for a child of any age. So ultimately, here's the thing. The Trump administration is essentially doing everything it set out to do from day one. They are creating essentially a nonstop machinery to deport as many people as they possibly encounter, whether they're good intentioned, hardworking, tax-paying Americans in name but not on paper, or whether they're, people who are just essentially coming into this country trying to seek refuge and escape the violent conditions that they fled from in their home country. So ultimately, this is the America that Donald Trump has created, not only for these people seeking a better life, but for the rest of us, which should beg the question, up until what point is the taxpayer, the rest of us here watching this unfold, are willing to tolerate this kind of governmental abuse when it comes to other human beings?
How important was it for members of Congress to go to Tornillo, Texas? They are the legislative, they are members of the legislative body. With Democrats coming into power in the House next year, do you hope that this is a first step towards, trying to at least take some action against this tent center and, forcing it to be shut down forcing the Trump administration's hand on allowing these kids to go home with family members?
I think it's obviously a really good step for lawmakers to participate and go down there and ask the tough questions up front and personal, right? It's very easy for us to watch Washington, D.C., Tornillo, or other parts of this country from a TV screen or through our phones and imagine them in a very distant place in our minds. But however, when people show up to these locations, whether it's Congress or whether it's a detention facility, and you start asking the tough questions, you start to dig in a little bit deeper into the truth. We saw Senator Merkley, for example, at the beginning of the zero tolerance policy, try to visit a facility which was a makeshift converted Walmart, this big box retailer that had essentially moved out of that location and became a child detention center. And once he went in there, and mind you, this is a senator from the Pacific Northwest, a very not exactly the senator of Texas either. Once he showed up to one of these facilities in person, he was denied access. Here you have one of the most powerful men in this country, a member of Congress, a sitting senator, being told that he is unable to enter at any cost, with cameras, without cameras, that he has to come back, that he has to make an appointment. And I feel that for lawmakers to go out there and experience this kind of stuff and see it with their own eyes gives them enough, even bigger of a platform to decry the abuse, pass legislation, and have a sense as to what exactly is going on down on the ground, and dispute any sort of any sort of claim that it's just, activists being riled up and exaggerating the situation, when in fact, this is exactly what it takes for lawmakers to essentially take a really close look at as to what the federal government is doing and ask the tough questions, not only there in person, say, for example, at Tornillo, but also go back to Congress, do their jobs, legislate, and ask the tough questions of other people who may try to detract from the issue.
I want to turn back to the death of the 7-year-old girl. Jacqueline Call was her name. She was from Guatemala. And 9 hours after she was taken into U.S. custody, she was pronounced dead at a hospital in El Paso. She suffered a cardiac arrest and did not recover. She did not have a medical history of any such problems that would have led to that. It was apparently dehydration. And she was separated from her father. when they first got in. I want to play for you Stephen Miller's response when he was asked about it on Face the Nation to the death of this tragic death of this child. This is what he had to say.
Our hearts break for the tragic death of the 7-year-old girl. The loss of that precious life is horrifying. It is a painful reminder of the ongoing humanitarian tragedy that is illegal immigration and the misery that it spreads. A coyote dropped off 163 migrants in an extremely remote section of New Mexico. Those individuals were found by Border Patrol, who many cases act as first responders. In fact, Border Patrol saves about 4,000 lives every single year. Unfortunately, hundreds die on the dangerous trek up. Smuggling organizations profit off death and misery. They are vicious, vile organizations. And it's time that both parties had the appropriate level of outrage over the fact that these organizations continue to take advantage.
Adequately equipped to deal with the record number of families coming across. Why aren't they?
One of the great tragedies that is going on in our country today is the loopholes in our immigration laws and the deficiencies in our immigration laws and left-wing activist judicial rulings that incentivize the most vulnerable populations to come to our country.
And Stephen Miller is speaking to Face the Nation on Sunday. He was responding to the news of the tragic death of the 7-year-old Guatemalan child. Juan, it sounded like he was deflecting, of course, as always. His response was, well, Border Patrol agents say 4,000 people at a time. Apparently he wants credit for that. Could her death have been preventable? Are these detention centers and Border Patrol, are they doing everything that they can to make sure that the people they're taking into custody are safe?
So I think, you know, there's a lot of things here to unpack, of course. I mean, we've since learned several more details since first the story broke last week, where we learned about the tragic passing of this young girl while in custody of Border Patrol agents. I think what the viewers here and listeners may find interesting is essentially the accounts that are not being lined up. You have Border Patrol at one point saying that, you know, the girl was dehydrated, died of exhaustion, and listed a very specific timeline as to what exactly their procedures and methods and tactics were to try to give this girl some help. However, you have the father of the girl, while he is thanking the response and treatment from law enforcement and people that he came in contact, federal agents. You also have the father disputing some of the accounts from the federal government, saying that his girl was eating, was drinking water, and by no means was essentially forced to walk a treacherous path down, like the one that Stephen Miller was just described in that video clip. Now, you know, this is gonna come to head in the next couple of days, with a majority of members of Congress, I would say, incoming Democrats and current sitting Democrats asking tough questions of the Department of Homeland Security. You have the House Judiciary Committee hopefully interviewing the Secretary of Homeland Security, Kirstjen Nielsen, who oversees Border Patrol. You will also have a delegation of Democrats going down and asking tough questions of Border Patrol officials. However, as of Monday, we have learned, according to BuzzFeed, that the agents who came in contact with this girl will not be allowed to interview. Specifically, you have Joaquin Castro, one of the Democrats, Congress members from the Texas delegation, saying that if the Border Patrol agents will not be available for interviewing or questions by members of Congress, that they can expect to be subpoenaed and called up to Congress and testify on the record once the Democrats take control of the House. Obviously, this is a very, very touchy and very delicate situation that we're experiencing. A lot of hurt, a lot of pain, and a lot of anger from advocates, members of Congress, families across this country who are demanding answers and refuting the accounts from people like Stephen Miller of the White House saying that it is not on them, that the government bears no fault whatsoever in the death, in the tragic death of this young girl, when in reality, there's still accounts that are being disputed. There's still a lot of questions, and I'm sure that we'll find out more details as the story continues to unfold in the days to come. Over the next couple of weeks.
So let's turn to the issue of the border wall funding. Of course, Trump has, like he did ahead of the midterm elections in making the refugee caravan a political point, he's making the border wall funding a political point around the legislation to keep the federal government funded. It's his way to let his supporters know, right, that he is tough on immigration. He said last week that he would take responsibility for the shutdown in past sort of conflicts like this, where there's been a government shutdown at stake. Everyone's been trying to push the blame onto someone else. Each side blames the other side. In this case, Trump was like, no, that's fine. I will take full responsibility for it. But in his case, it seems like he won't pay a political price with his base, will he?
Well, that's yet to be determined, of course. I mean, we are, so I guess for full clarity, this will be a partial shutdown of the federal government. It will not be a full shutdown like the ones that we've experienced in recent memory. However, you have to start wondering what exactly is the president trying to gain out of this when members of his own party are disputing whether or not they want to actually proceed with this maneuver. You have the president asking Congress for $5 billion to fund his border wall, a project, a vanity project that he insisted Mexico will pay for during his campaign. But also, and the other side of this coin, and I feel it's something that's not being talked about just enough, is the impact that this government shutdown will have on federal employees, like members of the TSA and the Department of Homeland Security, over the holidays. You will have these federal employees going in there because they're considered, they're going into work because they're considered essential personnel without pay over the holiday season. That means the person stamping your passport, the person checking your ID before you board that plane home or on return, will not be getting paid, but be forced to work due to their status within the federal government and within this agency, one that the president continues to praise time and time again as being heroes, are gonna go unpaid for a significant amount of time. Unclear when this shutdown may or may not enter, but you can expect the Democratic Party, should the shutdown continue into the new year, come January 3rd, you can expect Nancy Pelosi and the rest of the Democrats try to pass a continuous resolution. This means a short spending, a short time spending bill to kind of cap off the rest of the year and make sure that these individuals and the department are paid and funded. And that leaves the Senate, which is under Mitch McConnell and Republican control, and the White House at odds with the rest of the nation. I gotta tell you, you know, from what I've heard here in Washington, D.C., is basically that lawmakers from both sides are warning that this is not the way to go, that there is resistance amongst Democrats and Republicans on the issue, and it is very unclear whether or not the general public, I'm speaking here outside of the Trump base, that the general public does not want to see our government and the leadership of this nation go down this path to fund a border wall that is yet to be determined whether or not it will have any impact, which in my personal opinion, it will not. It's essentially a vanity project and a campaign promise that is it may as well be throwing that $5 billion into a hole, never to be seen again.
So this is what Stephen Miller on Face the Nation had to say about the issue of the government shutdown and border wall funding.
The largest increases. The largest
increases. Are we going to have a shutdown over Christmas?
As you yourself acknowledged, the largest increases in illegal immigration are categories that are incentivized by loopholes in our laws and loopholes created by activist left-wing judges, including the district court judge.
I said there are a record number happening right now.
In the categories that correspond with these loopholes. and the interventions, reckless, lawless interventions of district court judges. And this president...
That's Stephen Miller speaking on Face the Nation on Sunday, not quite answering the question of whether there will be a government shutdown. He seems to have a beef against activist left-wing judges, Juan. But it doesn't seem as though the White House, of which he's a part, really has a good enough justification for a partial shutdown.
I don't think they have a justification, and I also don't think they have an escape plan from this. Mm. Remember, the president told top lawmakers and the Democratic side that he would own the shutdown and bear the brunt and the political cost that it goes into this. While that may be the case, and the president may be willing to do so with a smile on his face, it doesn't give you any sort of idea as to when exactly a resolution may be passed. You mentioned Senator John Cornyn from Texas, essentially stating that the top lawmakers there on Capitol Hill are waiting for the president to come down with something. But at the end of the day, there doesn't seem to be any sort of impasse here that could essentially get us to a deal before the partial government shutdown takes place on December 21st. That's just a couple of days away from here. Well, I think what Stephen Miller and what the attention should be outside of a lot of the commentary regarding his spray on hair, but the specific in this particular clip, right, is that they're willing to do anything that it takes to get this wall. And if it means, I guess, to them to leave hundreds, if not thousands, of employees without pay for an unspecified amount of time, I guess that they're going to have to answer to those specific individuals, not just because they're federal employees, but because those are men and women who go out there every day to keep our country safe. And they're also constituents, they're voters. So a lot of those people may manifest themselves by being angry and exposing that anger to their elected officials, members of Congress, members of Congress, such as members of the House and members of the Senate. So you can expect some of these voices to probably, if this goes long enough, to voice their frustration at the president and at some members of Congress who are elected to represent them. Some of them, I venture to say, are in a really good chance, are Republicans.
Right. I mean, Trump wants to put this all on Democrats, but the Republican Party is... not on board, and they're scared to speak out publicly, which is really what needs to happen right now. Well, Juan, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We might have to have you back on in the next few days, depending upon how things work out with the government and this impending shutdown. Always a pleasure to have you on. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me. Looking forward to it.
My guest has been Juan Escalante. He's a digital organizer and immigration activist, also a DACA recipient himself. He's our immigration correspondent for this program. We've been talking about a number of immigration-related stories, including the encampment in Tornillo, Texas, and the impending government shutdown over the border wall, and the tragic news of the death of the 7-year-old migrant girl from Guatemala. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our audio podcast on iTunes, and our video channel on Vimeo.